News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 807. Mobile Mornings, so rain not here now, but more than likely on the way, so get ready.
Yep, just like we've seen the last couple of days, 251-343-0106. If you want to get in on the conversation, like dozens of you already have this morning in our first 2 hours. Yeah, it's been a busy morning on the text line. And that's great news because it's you and us for the next three segments. Jeff Poor will join us at the end of the show to preview what he has coming up and bat around some of the news headlines from around the state from his own site, 1819 News. But nationally, well, I was going to say nationally the conversation is, but you could be talking about a number of things that are going on around the world and here in our own country or just right here in our own backyard. And, you know, we spent a lot of time yesterday on the L.A. riots these last few days, and we could talk about that some today, and we will, but not really dive in as much and talk more about some of these local issues as the two stories are in a way intertwined, and I'm sure it's for local law enforcement around the country. But especially here right now, as more recently there have been, these discussions have been going on for a long time, but after the shootings at the parks here recently and then the Sanger, then you had a two-year-old who was sleeping and shot in the face mid last week, law enforcement locally are fed up with a lot of the crime that's happening right here in our own backyard. And there's been a bit of a spotlight on both at city council and, you know, in TV and radio broadcasts, a spotlight on how the local police interact with the youth, but also local criminals, too. And the discussion has continued. How do we take care of this problem? This problem with young black men shooting other young black men and people getting caught in the crossfire. Mm-hmm. That seems to be the number one issue being discussed and how to fix that problem. And you have law enforcement who want to amp things up and say, hey, if there were stricter penalties and we went in and got rid of problems early, we wouldn't have so much of an issue. You have others, including community activists who we've heard from over the years, who are saying, no, it needs to not so much be a, well, you need to work on the families and spotting problems in the youth before they become someone who acts on those by shooting up a home or something like that. And that you need to provide a lot of the children who will likely turn to that gang life, you need to provide them a different avenue early on. And like we've seen so many times before, people on opposite ends are kind of clashing it out when the answer is probably, like everything, somewhere in the middle. Yeah. I've always been and continue to be more on the side of law and order, and that if the punishment is severe enough, people won't go, a majority of people won't go and do that act.
You would think.
So that's the discussion here locally, but I'm saying it kind of coincides with these immigration riots because that's the conversation nationally, is law enforcement, how should they deal with protesters? What's that trust level like between the two? Are there ways to limit riots by talking with protesters and potential rioters in a different way or going about it in a different manner? So in a strange way, maybe not that strange, these stories are kind of intertwined.
Well, another story in the immigration is that there are those who think that the immigration is their tactics have gone too far, that they're just snatching people. You know, you hear that's on that side of it.
Taking children out of schools. Right.
So that's their talking points, mm-hmm. whether it's totally legit or not. If there's if the ICE agents are acting in bad faith in one situation, that's one too many, I guess, for a lot of people. And it's a massive problem because of the open borders that we had for the last 4 years. So we get all that. We know that. So at the very least, there's 10 million people, very least, that legally don't belong in the United States.
You say, yeah, at least 10 million, which I think is accurate. Someone was posting the other day, so Bear Stearns did a, I don't know if it was a poll or a study. They put out a report back in 2005 where they said, and I need to find this exact statistic, but back in 2005, I think they said there were between 10 and 20 million illegal immigrants already here. And since then, maybe another 20 million added. So we could be talking 30 to 40 million. And of course, many have ingrained themselves in their communities and they've found jobs and their families are going to school. but they're illegal aliens. So when you're law enforcement tasked with deporting illegal aliens,
now you're affecting actual families and working situations. And it's ironic that in Martha's Vineyard, where DeSantis sent a busload up there, was it DeSantis or one of the other
Abbott? Abbott, yeah, well, they were both doing it.
Yeah. And they went crazy when it happened, like, clutching the pearls up there. Now some of them have actually integrated into part of the workforce.
Which part?
Lawn?
Yeah.
Lawn care or family care?
I thought I heard they sent a lot of the gang members up there to Martha's Vineyard. Wasn't that one of the stories that...
So in any event, Martha's Vineyard now is one of the places saying, please don't take them back. Like, who's going to cut my lawn?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the twists and turns of this thing are incredible. So suddenly there's sympathy for the migrants when they were at first horrified that they were on their property.
Yeah, they were. And so while the riots have been taking most of the news headlines nationally, that was the discussion yesterday on Midday Mobile. It was a second Tuesday of the month, so Ask the Sheriff with Paul Birch. He was on the phone. He normally comes in. Yesterday he was on the phone. And it ended up creating quite the stir online afterwards, which Sheriff Birch has been no stranger to in these last few weeks. It seems everything he says gets quite the strong reaction from the community.
Well, he says things with the, harsh words and great conviction. So he's asking for a reaction because he seems to be totally spent on the whole thing.
So the first I saw of the reaction to the sheriff's comments yesterday, which we'll play here in just a second, Reddit, which... at the very least, leans left, and there's a Mobile, Alabama Reddit, which is basically a big forum where people create different chats and then comment on those chat topics.
Yep.
And so they said, hey, did you guys hear the sheriff just now on FM Talk 106.5 and what he said about what he will do to protesters here in Mobile? And that's with this weekend. You have the big 250th Army Parade in D.C. that coincides with Flag Day and Trump's birthday. And these No Kings protests, which are popping up more and more often around the country, one of those will be held in Mobile, or at least that's what they've been marketing here over the last week. And so you have people getting ready to protest this weekend, even here in the city. And yesterday, while Sheriff Birch was talking a lot about the L.A. riots and also about crime here in our own backyard, he was asked what he plans to do or what would happen if the protests in Mobile became violent, like the ones we're seeing in L.A. Let me just play this. This isn't the full hour.
We're preparing for.
Now it's just playing. So here it is, about 2 minutes of the conversation. Again, they talked about an hour yesterday. So it's not in its complete and full context, but much more than you'll get from any people just writing it up.
We're getting some intel that there may be some protests in Mobile this weekend, and we're preparing for it. Had frequent conversations with the Mobile police chief. But let me say that I watch the things that happen around the country, and not just in L.A., but some of the other unrest that's been going on. And it's not protesting, it's rioting. But it angers me when I see these rioters trying to pull barricades out of the hands of police officers and shoving police officers to try to grab the barricades and break the perimeter. I can tell you they do that in Mobile, Alabama. The orthopedic hand surgeons are going to have one hell of a weekend to start fixing hands. Because, that barricade can become a weapon. And one thing I will say, too, and I saw some of the firebombs being thrown.
Mm-hmm.
That's deadly force. And our policy is you meet deadly force with deadly force. And I'll leave that at that.
Do you think in Los Angeles those officers are making that decision on their own, or they're being told to stand down from above?
I think they're being told to stand down, but I think they're afraid to protect themselves because they'll end up in jail themselves. I cannot imagine living in a place like that. I got just, I was in disbelief when, ICE was calling for help. Mm-hmm. Because they were, being overrun, and LAPD refused to go assist them. That's just unthinkable.
I mean, in the brotherhood of law enforcement, it seems unthinkable. I'm not even in it, just watching y'all from a distance.
Yep. I mean, and again, I see all these things going on, and and I'm sure there's, I'll get some blowback on my statements on this too, but there is nothing in the law that says you have to stand by while people are shoving you or throwing stuff at you. I mean, that's a weapon. Regardless of what you throw, that is a weapon. And I would strongly discourage them from behaving that way down here.
So those are the comments that lit the internet abuzz a bit yesterday. And while the and he said he had the foresight. He said these comments will probably create a stir.
Yeah.
And he was right about that. I don't know if I'll ever put my hands on a barricade again after hearing his description. I'm worried about the baton slamming into my fingers. But when he said deadly force will be met with just that, more or less,
yeah,
like some of these objects they're throwing could kill. And you saw some of that from L.A. the other day, from overpasses throwing these huge blocks of concrete down.
They've identified one guy, and I don't know if they got him yet, but they've identified him. So he'll be... we'll see how that prosecution goes too, because this is also very important with all this. Pam Bondi, the U.S. Attorney General, says that right now, this was as of yesterday, they had 9 active cases in terms of the violence against police. 9 active cases tied to the protest included looting, violence, attacks on federal agents, and the word came down yesterday as well, or earlier, that a couple of twin daughters of a top L.A. official arrested during an ICE protest that have wreaked havoc. Los Angeles Chief Comptroller Rick Cole said his daughters, Lucia and Antonia, were arrested. He told that to the New York Post. The arrest happened after protests erupted on Friday as anti-ICE protesters tried to thwart illegal immigration sweeps in the city. And that the women are accused of assaulting a police officer with a deadly weapon. If that's the case, if that's what they're going to be charged with, what Pam Bondi is saying is, see you later.
Mm.
So this is 2 26-year-old females participating in that, but now maybe the charges will be reduced or dropped. I don't know. But it's something to keep an eye on.
Mm-hmm.
The prosecution of those who are doing these things to law enforcement.
Yeah, and what deterrence that may have going forward.
Yes, but you've got to be teeth in the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you got to get them off the street, and I think they did some of that last night with the curfew.
The curfew, yeah, played a big role.
And then so get them off the street, maybe for temporarily, or arrest them. That gets them off the street, and then prosecute them.
Yeah.
To prosecute them fully and make sure that there's something to it where, and maybe not last but not least, whatever, but we've got to find out where a lot of this funding is coming from too. Mm-hmm. Because these are agitators that are got kind of nothing better to do. It's almost like they're part of a pro circuit.
Yeah.
And you've got to find out where that money's coming from and shut it down.
Yeah. So with Birch's comments, though, and a lot of people saying, look what he says he's going to do to the people of Mobile if we go out and use our peaceful right or our right to protest peacefully. And can you believe this? He's going way overboard. Now, they're saying it was a hypothetical that he was responding to. What happens if the Mobile protest turns into an L.A.-style riot?
Yeah.
And he was basically saying, we're not going to do it the same way. We aren't going to stand for any of that crap, and we'll come after you immediately. And so some people are pretty upset that he would say that.
Why are they upset?
Well, they'll say it was unprovoked, and there's no need to go to that level. But I think he's not the only sheriff who's kind of setting up around the country and saying, listen, don't even bring that business into our backyard because we're going to shut it down and we're going to shut it down quickly. Now, if they're just smacking protesters who are out there actually peacefully protesting, yeah, smacking them around, that's an issue, right?
I've got no issue with a peaceful protest. I've got no issue if you want to do it all day long and there's been no violence and you can do it at night as well. And good for you if you feel that strongly about the situation. If you feel that strongly about your point of view, that's fine. I'm not amused by it, but if it's a peaceful protest, that's one thing. But what we're talking about, what Sheriff Birch was reacting to, was the more than that, when it turns into the violence we've seen against police in Los Angeles.
Now, and let me know on the text line. We'll get to all these texts. Trust me, we'll start rolling through them right here after the break. But Do you think a protest in Mobile would ever rise to that level, either because of our sheriff like Birch or Lowry across the bay, or our police officials? Would they let it get to that level? Does Mobile even have the hunger? I'm sure there are some people in Mobile who would love to do that, but you have to have enough people to go out and cause that ruckus that others feel comfortable doing it. I don't see that happening in Mobile, and I might be completely crazy.
Depends on who comes in, who the agitators are that infiltrate Mobile. Yeah. Because it's not the hometown protesters that I noticed the last time they had this sort of protest in Mobile, a couple of months back, maybe?
Yeah. So they've had these weekend protests. The last time that things got really kind of strange or almost crazy is back during the George Floyd protest.
BLM, yeah.
The BLM, and when they got on I-10, remember, in the baseball bat situation?
Right.
But
the individuals I noticed on the news anyway during those protests, they seemed fairly benign. It didn't look like they didn't seem threatening in any way. They were protesters. If that's what happens on Saturday, then
that's
okay.
All it is.
That's all it is.
Your thoughts. We'll get to the text right after this. 251-343-0106. Also, if you want to talk with us, that number works the exact same way. And Mobile Mornings will come back after some WKRG news. Also, end of the hour, we'll talk with Jeff Poor, and he'll preview the Jeff Poor Show, which is on the way after us.
To the text line, 251-343-0106. Unnamed texter, I believe. Is it an unnamed texter? It's just mommy issues.
Yeah, I think James texting this one.
Okay. Yeah. So eager to shoot someone for protesting. Can you imagine that if that were the prevailing attitude when we were protesting England? Anyway, it goes on and on about that. Then also says, Dan, with the moronic paid actors actually coming to Mobile. Ha, 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 ha. Okay. Well, when the protests happen on Saturday, James, go ahead and meet up with them. If they're all sweet elderly folks from Midtown, fine. I would think that the last time we were here, they numbered about 100, and I think some of them were from out of town. I'm not saying out of town actors. I don't know what they are.
Well,
I've got no idea.
I always think, how much of a budget is there? And I know some of these NGOs that push this stuff at big bucks, but if there's protests around the country, how many paid actors are they going to send to Mobile? I feel like they have bigger cities.
We couldn't even keep the Bay Bears. I get it.
Can't even keep the paid protesters. Haywood said, just read the post on Reddit. That is at best a low IQ post. At worst, someone attempting to cause trouble. It's someone who has low IQ that is attempting to start trouble, Haywood. I'll combine those two for you. Dirt Digger says there might be bad protester when they bring them in from other parts of the country. Be peaceful, not violent. Sheriff Birch is like JY. They protect and serve our community. Care for all of us unless you break our laws. Bill, all right, an E.O. Wilson text here with the preserve named after him. If I remember correctly, Alabama's ant scholar E.O. Wilson said that if you took the weight of all the ants on earth, it would be more than the weight of all the people on earth. Jason, has there been any mention of pro-Trump gatherings Saturday downtown, and why do we allow these anti-American loons to control these things? Butterknife says, I support Trump, but I kind of think the governor of California did a pretty good job handling the protests and riots. It seems pretty calm the last few days. I don't think law enforcement has the ability to stop something to get to that level. It's the people involved willing to take it to that level. 251-343-0106. More of your texts and calls after the break. Hit some news here, and also talk with Jeff Poor before the end of the hour. Hey, thanks, Kane. 834 here on FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Back to the text in a moment. 251-343-0106. Right now, it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing just fine. And in this rainy week, a little bit of sunlight right now. I know things can change in an instant. And sometimes when that happens, you got to get up to McConnell Automotive, whether it's for the body shop or if you need to get a new ride or pre-owned. You guys have a great selection of all the above.
That's right. Those GM certifieds out front. I'm sitting here looking at all of them. Man, that gives you an extra 12 on the factory warranty. It bumps up that powertrain up to 100,000 miles, and that's a great deal. I mean, think powertrain, anything that touches oil. So, I mean, you could figure that out real quick. Like, But yeah, we got a great selection of those. We got a great selection of new 3/4 ton trucks. Like I said the other day, you want to pull a boat, we got the truck to do it. Come see us, McConnell Automotive. We're in beautiful Midtown, east of I-65 on Dolphin Street. Phone number 251-476-4141. Come check on the website, McConnellAutomotive.com, and you can check out all our pre-owned and new vehicles on stock.
Yeah, you can. That's where I am right now, McConnellAutomotive.com, with a great selection of these new vehicles. We appreciate it, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
Louie Arata, you'll find him at McConnell Automotive there on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. And he said it, the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Lots of texts this morning at 251-343-0106. Chris from Orange Beach, he's a regular. He says, I'm 61 years old. Trump is the first president in my lifetime to do the right thing and not put up with all of this. That's Chris from Orange Beach.
Yeah, Gene saying, FYI, the last time a president called the guard was in Alabama to protect the protesters from the police. You're talking about in the George Wallace days. They called the HW called the National Guard up during the 92 riots too, during the Rodney King
LA
riots.
Yeah,
so it wasn't the last time, but it did happen here in Alabama. You're right about that, Gene. Let's go to, I'm trying to find where we left off, CB Carl. Good morning, guys. Dan, I think what they're saying in Martha's Vineyard is, quote, who's going to cut my grass for pennies on the dollar compared to the fair wages we would have to pay legal citizens?
Yep.
Dan, out of Daphne, says, here's some hypocrisy for you. I'm a home builder, and I built a house for two very, very liberal people, and they hated Trump. I hated everything about conservative, but if you let one of the Hispanics accidentally leave the door open or leave a piece of paper on the ground, they would get furious and talk about how they are disrespecting them and they shouldn't be allowed back on their property. These are the same people that are now protesting to protect and have the sign that we should love everybody unless they disrespect them, I suppose.
So let me get this straight. If they're saying that they build homes for a living, he's building a home for two people he thinks are very liberal in their political ideas and ideology, and they are liberal in the way that they want to protect all the rights of illegal immigrants, and at the same time, if the guy that's working for him that looks like one of them actually drops a nail on the floor or whatever,
messes up.
If he messes up, they feel their
wrath
worse on him than anybody.
That's what Dan is saying.
Interesting.
In his personal experience. Texter here. To the text messenger that was kind of belittling Paul Birch, just a reminder, there are malcontents in every department of government. You can, just saying. Yeah, we had a texter earlier who said that Paul Birch isn't very well liked, even within his own ranks. That's what the texter was saying, and then asked us to come up with three things that asked the listeners to come up with three things that Birch has done that are good. And I'll get to one of those texts here in a minute. Good morning, guys. It's me again. I live in an RV community. I'll say it's in Barnwell. We had a lawn care service that had 5 people in it, weed eaters running, blowers cutting grass 3 weeks ago. Now it's turned into 11, and this is the truth. Okay, appreciate that. Michael says, nobody has answered my question yet about Alabama's new trafficking bill. Per the wording, school bus drivers who are transporting illegal alien students could be charged with a felony trafficking charge. Yeah, and I would hope that if it's just a school bus driver who's running their route and has no idea about the immigration status of those that they're carrying, I'm hoping it wouldn't result in those kinds of charges. But if that's the letter of the law, then yeah, that might be something that they either have to change or something they don't want to change, if that's what made it through in the final version of that bill. Derek says, as usual, the Dems just want another slave class. I guess he's talking about the illegal immigrants here. Gardner sending in, we're talking about some of these NGOs and who may or may not be funding these riots. We talked about the Walton heiress who is advertising for these No Kings protests over the weekend. But I kind of got into this a little bit. And so Gardner says the Coalition for Human Immigrant Rights, CHURLA, is one of the key players in fomenting the violent response to immigration enforcement actions. It's an LA-based nonprofit with a history of taking radical positions on immigration. For example, it led a 2018 campaign to abolish ICE. It currently leads the LA Rapid Response Network, which gathers intel about enforcement actions and deploys activists to respond. CHURLA has strong ties to the Democrat Party in California. It supported the election of Democratic candidates through its lobbying arm and a particularly close relationship with LA Mayor Karen Bass, The organization also has a close relationship with organized labor in the state, which in turn is a major financial supporter of Democrat politicians. Charla on Friday held a rally protesting ICE's enforcement actions. The incredible part is, and cuts off there, but I saw Charla, this non-governmental organization Gardner's referencing here, in another story, and that's with the House Republicans. They're demanding financial records from over 200 NGOs, non-governmental organizations, that received billions in federal funding to assist migrants during the Biden administration. You have Mark Green, who's the House Homeland Security Chairman out of Tennessee, and Subcommittee Chairman Josh Brecken out of Oklahoma. They said these groups are fueling the ongoing border crisis, providing services like transportation, housing, and legal aid to illegal immigrants. And they are targeting organizations like the one that Gardner just referenced on the text line, Charla, which received nearly $1 million in Department of Homeland Security grants, and Southwest Key Programs, which secured about $3 billion to house unaccompanied minors. And this other program, Southwest Key, faced a DOJ lawsuit last year over alleged sexual abuse. That suit was dropped in March of this year, the same month that its funding was cut. The Republicans cited a lack of financial oversight. So Gardner sends in this text about Charla and their close relationship to these protests and then riots in L.A. And you also have the Republicans in the House, the U.S. House, diving in to see how much government money organizations just like that have received over these last few years.
You've got a place called an organization, the L.A. Poverty, L.A. Poverty Department. Their funding has run out now, I believe. But also another group that has been advertising the blank ICE kits. Now, the blank ICE kits has got goggles and gloves and, I guess, you know, stuff that you would want.
A snack?
I don't know.
A bottle of water?
I got a little pyramid sandwich in there, but it's for the protesters slash rioters. Blank ICE kits, Mutual Aid Los Angeles Network. That's one of the groups handing it out. Also, they're considered a central information network for aid groups and nonprofits, including Operation Healthy Hearts. So now you're thinking, well, who's Operation Healthy Hearts? They only received their tax-exempt nonprofit status last month, so they're involved in all this too. But I guess the bigger question is, who are the people that are donating on a steady basis to those organizations? Who's funding them? Mm-hmm. They don't seem to be, you know, that's not exactly Delta Airlines. That's not exactly Soros. But who is?
Yeah, it might be.
Who, well, that's what I'm saying. But what are the names?
Yeah, it's not out there and blatant. They're right. Not putting their names on the headlines.
Like with the Kings thing, you've got the Walton family name on it,
which is interesting.
Yeah,
very interesting. GC says about time someone told the protesters to stop 3 days late. That's the text from GC.
Yeah, it was so interesting listening to that. Bass in the press conference yesterday just saying, yeah, it's really bad. Boy, the graffiti and everything, it's everywhere. It's really doing damage to our businesses. Like, yeah, you didn't know that Friday?
So this text earlier, this kind of got some folks going on the text line. It said, good morning, guys. As a former local law enforcement officer, I feel compelled to share some feelings and opinion. I've always felt that Sheriff Birch was nothing more than an overrated goober. Case in point, name three things he did that comes to mind to you. Three things, I'll wait. I also have maintained many relationships with current and former deputies. I would venture to say that off the record, most current and former deputies think he's failing at his job as the high sheriff. And says, keep in mind, guys, to be the sheriff, it's not that you're actually qualified, but more of how politically connected you are and the ability to get donors to donate enough to get you elected. And had someone respond directly to that text.
A number of responses.
Another texter, let's see, they're hitting Newsom and Bass there. Airport there. I've got to find this text before I let you go here. Rodney Toomer, somebody, Squirrel Vereen there has an issue with the community activist we were talking about this morning. Community influencer? What would you say? Not an influencer. He's radio DJ.
Radio DJ activist, but he also works down at the detention center, so he's in the middle of it.
So Chad texted in response to that text I was reading about the sheriff and says, Birch has done a great job putting the heat on Mississippi coastal towns, dumping their homeless population here. He's ramped up the cybercrime unit to go after child predators, and he's stepped in where others have failed to address violent crime and drug dealing. That's the first three that come to mind. This texter says, all lower Alabama LEOs and citizens should agree with Sheriff Birch. Don't let paid protesters invade our areas. If they come with their stick, let's show them a bigger stick. That's from Trouble in Magnolia Springs. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Well, according to the mommy issues or whoever that is, you know, there are. It's laughable to think that a single paid protester would make their way to Mobile. It happened during the BLM. There was the people coming from Eufaula and standing on the interstate and all that stuff. That was even before all that. That was when that had to do with more of a local trial. But you can remember somebody that proclaimed to be the cousin of one of the guys on CNBC or whatever, Sharpton, claimed, and what, maybe he was.
Yeah.
But he was an outside agitator. It happens.
It does. It did. Tim says, I think it's funny there. Let's see. They all seem to have the same size, style, Mexican flag. It's pretty evident they're being supported by somebody. I would find out who that person or agency is and squash them like a bug. That sounds like what Bondi is at least saying she's going to try to do. I think Paul Birch is doing a phenomenal job. I like his no-nonsense. Don't take crap off the general public that are breaking the laws. Need somebody in that office with a spine. Mark in West Mobile says the liberal left are walking, talking contradictions. They don't even know what they believe. They just do what the liberal elites tell them to do. Bucky Beaver in Barnwell. Okay, yeah, I read your text earlier there, Bucky Beaver. And Billy D, now you understand why we need Paul Prine back in. We need him in the mayor's place. That's where he needs to be. He can help kind of, you know, skew crime that looks like it's just everywhere. So those are the texts, 251-343-0106. Did a pretty good job of getting to just about every one of them there.
I'll give you this much about Prine. He's not really a politician, obviously. He is what he is. He comes originally, I believe, from Alabama Village. He has, I don't know if he has immense support, but he's got a lot of support that doesn't look the same. Mm-hmm. He's got people, black, white, Hispanic that like Paul Prine. Mm-hmm. So he's done the work in the position as the Mobile police chief for a time, and of course we know that. How that all went down.
Unraveled.
Yeah, it unraveled in a sad way. And we all still have got questions about all of that. But as we assess who's running for mayor and who could actually do the job as the mayor in terms of trying to combat these issues, Paul Prine does have a lot of relationships all around the city.
Let's hold off on going to the break real quick and go to the phones.
Sure.
Quickly. And on line one, we have Freddie, I believe in Mobile, wants to talk National Guard. Hey, Freddie.
Good morning, D&D. How's it going?
It's going on, good. Man. Yes, your comments on this whole thing.
So I'm going to play devil's advocate here. So President Trump sent the troops in L.A. to take and protect the police and the ICE officials who are doing their job, which I commend them on. So why didn't he do the same thing on January the 6th to collect the police who were doing their job at Washington? So that's from a devil's advocate position. Mm-hmm. And as far as the police go, I support these guys do a tough job. And I'm going to a luncheon this afternoon at the Midtown Optimist Club. And once a month we call out a policeman and honor that policeman for the tough job that they do on a day-to-day basis. And that they need protection from, that they're out there protecting, not only they're protecting the protesters as well as protecting the buildings and stuff that they're in charge of doing out there. So I mean, I get it. It's a tough position for somebody in law enforcement. And as far as Sheriff Paul Birch, he's got 400,000 about 400,000 people that let him know what his job performance is every 4 years.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. And, you know, as far as January 6th, I mean, well, Trump, you know, you can say what you want about that whole situation. Trump was not at his best with his reaction to that.
No, but, and they say, the Trump team says they told the mayor of D.C. to call up the guard. It's been disputed, and I don't know if they've ever shown that the exact facts bearing that out, but I do think National Guard, we'd be having we probably wouldn't even really talk much about January 6th anymore if National Guard had been on the scene.
No, that's probably true, but the January 6th, that's one thing that continues that Democrats are throwing in his face, even in the light of all this. 850, Dan and Dalton, we'll talk with Jeff Poore on the way.
Get in on all the NBA playoff action with Underdog Fantasy. Underdog, one of the leading sports apps, and you can play now in Alabama. Their app has over 100,000 five-star reviews and millions of players to choose from when you're making your entries. And to play, it's really easy. All you have to do is download the Underdog app, choose whether a player will go higher or lower on one of their stats. So in basketball, you're talking stats like points, rebounds, or assists. But you can mix and match sports in one entry. You can make multiple entries, however you want to play it, as long as you have at least two players and higher or lower on their stats in your entry. I like to mix together a little basketball, a little baseball, or on hockey nights nowadays, hockey and some baseball. They have all the sports, even on the weekends. You get some golf, some NASCAR. It's really a great app, and I have a whole lot of fun playing Underdog. If you get your entries correct, you could win up to 1,000 times your money, so you could turn $1 into $1,000 just with your sports knowledge. And they have a great app and website where you can keep up with those stats as the games are being played. Find out whether you're a winner or a loser in real time. So download the Underdog app, sign up now with promo code Dalton, that's D-A-L-T-O-N, and score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code Dalton. Must be 18 plus, 19 plus in Alabama, and present in Minnesota or Alabama. Terms apply. See https://assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play_get.html for details. And if you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Good lineup on the Jeff Poor Show today. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
So you guys always have the news at 18:19 news, and we'll work through some of those headlines here in a moment. But who do you have lined up for your show today?
We'll start out with Scott Buttram. Kind of pitch hitting it here at the last minute, get caught up on the news there. But also Joey Clark, we do that every Wednesday on this program. And Morgan Murphy, who's flirting with a Senate run, but asked to come on and talk a little bit about the LA riots and the Trump administration's response there. So we're going to hit those topics.
And the LA riots have resulted in a number of backyard stories here, especially for 18:19 news. And one of those, Sheriff Birch's comments yesterday on Midday Mobile, some people not happy with the wording he used, but I think Birch clearly not happy with the unruliness, not just around here, but in other cities.
And he's kind of becoming kind of an oppressive figure to me by saying what people really are thinking and want to hear.
You said impressive?
Impressive, okay. Yeah. I don't think the idea of the arena and the shootout there is necessarily a political negative for him at all. It may upset some of the media and the mayor of Pritchard, but that's a failed municipality, okay? There's no other way to describe it. But saying stuff like that, this is just like, this is the way law and order is done, guys.
Yeah, and if not now, when? I mean, what I hear in his voice, Jeff, is just so much frustration.
Well, we shouldn't have to have the same sort of like hurdles they have in Los Angeles, California, or anywhere on the West Coast. This is Mobile, Alabama. This is a Republican majority state. It's ruby red, and we sometimes lose that. We sometimes get trapped in this conventional wisdom that kind of spreads across the country nationally, and we shouldn't be held to those standards. It's a totally different world.
Gavin Newsom speaks. He sounds so tone deaf. It's like he's not even paying attention to where we are in the conversation. If Trump and the National Guard did not step in, Dalton, where would LA be now?
Well, is he performing for the voters in California, or is he trying to perform for the voters on the national stage with 2028 in mind? If it's the national stage, I agree completely that clearly the country is ready for more law and order, not more protests.
Oh, yeah. And then I was thinking about this. Like, how does these protests, we sometimes watch, or I certainly do, watch too much cable news or read too much establishment Beltway media. But, like, if you're sitting around and anywhere in this state or Kansas or, Arkansas, somewhere, mm-hmm. Iowa, and you see this on TV, and you're thinking to yourself, well, why is the Mexican flag and that burnout police car? What's going on there? That looks like chaos. Well, I mean, Donald Trump is acting appropriately, mm-hmm. I would think, in their view.
You would think, let's see if I can play. If it's going to play.
I think he held off too long also in his first term from acting on a lot of those protests and felt like he wasn't going to do it the same way this time.
Yeah, and And that's true. And that's such a good point, because I think when he got into office in 17, he thought people would just put the politics behind them and move on. And he was mistaken. He was wrong. He was more of a caustic figure in American politics than maybe he had thought it. And that's why he extended all those olive branches. Yeah, like the Rex Tiller said, you had all these like DC sort of guys coming to his administration, Elaine Chao. None of that worked out. To hell with these people.
No, he's going full Trump. This is Newsom. I believe we can play this.
And by the way, Trump, he's not opposed to lawlessness and violence as long as it serves him. What more evidence do we need than January 6th?
There you go, January 6th back in his face again.
Well, they were lighting their Herald fire over January 6th and our democracy and all of that, right? You're getting the exact opposite reaction from the media over this. I know they're different situations, but the principle still applies equally.
Yeah.
You would think.
Let me get this text, because there were some critical comments of Birch. I want to get this in. It says, hey, fellas, I personally worked for the Birches in the past. I've known them for years. You couldn't ask for a man with a strong moral center and a name that stands for success. Birch never cared for glory, but he was more of the man making things happen. His father and son both served the Mobile community in important roles, and we're lucky to have him.
Okay, there we go. All right, thanks, Jeff. We'll talk. We'll enjoy your show here coming up.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Jeff Poor Show on the way next, and we'll be back tomorrow morning.
Hey, if we want real ratings, we've already got John Young at night. Give Birch his own show, too. Why not? It is 6:59, Dan and Dalton, and Jeff Poor on the way.